The Old Testament reading for this third Sunday after Pentecost is recorded in the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 20. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out. I shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is on every side. Denounce him. Let us denounce him, say all my close friends, watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived. Then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. I will meditate on your wonderful works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. The epistle is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness, but what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child. And children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them. For nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I mentioned to the folks at First Service that when they were putting the hymnal together, they recognized that some hymn would have to receive the number 666, which is, of course, the mark of the beast in Revelation chapter 13. And so they thought, what better hymn to receive the honor of being 666 than the one that says, "Fear not the foe, O little flock." Our text today, as we once again begin to gather together in larger numbers than we have for several months now, is from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, these words of Jesus to his disciples, sobering words. Jesus said, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Dear Christians, as I said, it's good to be here with you. Here with you in this place, gathered in the name of Jesus, who promises to be with us and is with us in this hour and at all times in this place and in every place. It's easy to be afraid these days. I think to some degree we all have. And if you don't have at least some fear in your heart, it is certainly knocking at the door. 3 months ago, almost to the day, the fear of the virus drove us out of our workplaces and schools and into our homes, out of the pews and into our recliners. We feared the virus, and rightly so. We were afraid that it might make us sick, that it might put us in the hospital, that it might end our lives. We feared the very neighbors that we are commanded by God to love and that are commanded by God to love us, afraid that they might shed the virus on us and make us sick. We feared the businesses through which God our Father provides us with what we need and want, unsure of what might be waiting for us on the grocery cart or the fast food bag or the checkout counter. We even feared the Lord's Supper, unsure of what was lurking beneath the bread and in the cup, afraid that the supper through which the Lord promises to give us forgiveness, life, and salvation might prove to be for us our last meal and the cup of death. And now in our country, there's a whole new set of fears. Some people are afraid of the police. They want to defund police departments and get rid of those who are called by God to serve us and protect us, most of whom do a good job of that. Certainly not all, as we have seen, but most. Some police are afraid to show up for work, fearing for their lives, or afraid that they will be accused of some kind of misconduct. Some people are afraid of the rioters who are filling our city streets, occupying some of our communities, looting and burning businesses, tearing down our historical documents, assaulting our neighbors and insisting that we give in to their demands and embrace their ideas as our own. Some people are afraid because they're black. Some people are afraid because they're white. Some people are afraid because they're Christians. Some people are afraid because they're Jews. Some people are afraid because of their political viewpoint. Some people are afraid to speak their minds, believing that their right to free speech has suddenly become, unbelievably, a dangerous thing to exercise. Fear seems to be everywhere. People are afraid. Well, if anyone had good reason to be afraid, it was the disciples of Jesus. In Matthew 10, Jesus warns his disciple about what's coming down the pike for them. "Beware of men," Jesus says, "for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake." Jesus warned them that brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise up against their parents and have them put to death. Such a happy thought on Father's Day, isn't it? Father giving up his child to death, children rising up against parents. I guess I should have preached on that, but wow, what a downer that would be on Father's Day. But that's what Jesus tells them is going to happen. Jesus told them, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Court appearances, floggings, being called on the carpet before governors and kings, betrayal by family members, hatred and death. The prospect of those things could have filled the hearts of the disciples with fear. Those things could have made them afraid, maybe even caused them to give a second thought about following Jesus. And yet in the midst of all of this, not fear-mongering, but all of this warning about what's to come, all of these frightful things that are going to happen, in the midst of all of that, Jesus says this, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Don't be afraid, Jesus says, even when all this awful stuff starts to happen. Don't be afraid, Jesus says. The worst thing that can happen is that those who hate you and persecute you will kill your body. And you know, at first blush, it seems that Jesus is kind of overstating things, or maybe, I guess, understating things. I mean, nobody wants to die. Death is no small thing. The thought of death can be frightening. It can paralyze us with fear and make us unable or unwilling to speak or to act. Unless you believe that those who kill the body cannot kill the soul, like Jesus says. Unless you believe that even if your body dies, your soul will go on living with Jesus in that place, which is better by far. Unless you believe that Jesus is going to raise you from the dead, like he promises. Unless you believe that Jesus is going to make your dead body alive again and imperishable. Unless you believe that you will live forever, body and soul, in that new heavens and that new earth where nothing will ever make you afraid again. Jesus is not minimizing death, but he is reminding us that there are worse things than dying. Jesus tells us who and what we should really fear. He says, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And you know, when people hear that, they think that Jesus is talking about the devil. They think the devil is the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. It's not the devil. He can't do that. Hell is a place where the devil himself will suffer and be tormented forever and ever. The devil is not the one who inflicts suffering on people in hell. He suffers with them. And as we know, misery loves company. No, Jesus is talking about our Heavenly Father. Oh, there are those who can kill the body. Anybody can kill the body. Happens all the time. But only God can destroy both body and soul in hell. Better to die for the name and the sake of Jesus than to deny Jesus and to be judged by God on the last day as worthy of hell. Better to die for the name and the sake of Jesus and then wait for the resurrection of the body to life everlasting than to deny Jesus and wait for the eternal destruction of both body and soul. We are called by Jesus to fear God more than men. And when Jesus says that, he's simply talking First Commandment language, right? First Commandment, you shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. We are called by Jesus to fear the destruction of our bodies and souls in hell more than the death of our bodies in this life. We are called by Jesus to confess him before men, knowing that on the last day, he will confess us before his Father in heaven. In the end, what can the coronavirus do to you? It can kill your body, but it cannot kill your soul. And it certainly cannot destroy both body and soul in hell. What can a rogue cop or a violent protester do to you? They can kill your body, but they cannot kill your soul. And they certainly cannot destroy both body and soul in hell. Jesus tells us to fear God. And when we fear God, when we fear our Father in heaven, when we care more about what He says and what He wills and what He threatens and promises, when we do that, then we really have nothing to fear. And I know that sounds odd, but it's true. Fearing God, you have nothing to fear. Fearing your Father in heaven, you need not fear the coronavirus or any other life-threatening illness. Fearing your Father in heaven, you need not fear the hatred and the violence of your wicked neighbors. Fearing your Father in heaven, you need not fear death and the grave. Fearing your Father in heaven, you need not fear the devil or hell. On this Father's Day, we think about the love of a father for his children. The love of a father who is willing to work and suffer and sacrifice and even die in order to care for and protect his little ones. How much more our Heavenly Father? God, our Father, whom Jesus tells us to fear, is also the Father who loves us beyond all knowing. That Father who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell is the Father who created us and all things. The Father who gave life to us and to all creatures. The Father who gave us our bodies and souls, eyes, ears, and all our members, our reason and all my senses. The Father who daily and richly provides us with all that we need for this body and life. He is the Father who knows when a sparrow worth less than a penny falls to the ground. He is the Father who values you much, much more than many sparrows. He is the Father who cares about you so much and in such detail that He even counts the hairs on your head. He's the Father who is not only worthy of your fear, but worthy of your love and worthy of your trust. He is the Father who loved you from the foundation of the world, before you were born, before anything was called into existence. And He is the Father who, because of His eternal love for you, sent His dearly loved Son into the world to save you. Jesus knows what He's talking about. Jesus knows about suffering and violence and persecution and death. Jesus was delivered over to the Jewish council. Jesus was flogged. Jesus was dragged before the Roman governor, Pilate. Jesus was hated. Jesus was put to death on a cross by His own people. They killed His body, and they buried it in a grave. But His soul they could not kill. His last words on the cross, "Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit." But then on the third day, God the Father raised His Son from the dead, just like He will you. God the Father gave Jesus back His body, just like He will for you, reunited His body and soul that He might live forever as the living and life-giving Savior of dying sinners. You believe in that Jesus. You confess that Jesus. You have been baptized into that Jesus. You will eat His body and blood that He gave and shed for your salvation. You are God's redeemed child and an heir of His heaven. And on this Father's Day, your Heavenly Father makes you a promise. He promises neither death nor life nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. These are troubling times, and there is a lot to be afraid of. But you don't have to be afraid. Fearing God, trusting in Jesus, you have nothing to fear. Happy Father's Day in more ways than one. In Jesus' name. Amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.